our director, Margaret Van Vliet, and she has worked tirelessly to bring this home against really tremendous obstacles. So, Margaret, thank you, and I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Mayor Adams and commissioners, I'm Margaret Van Vliet, the director of the Housing Bureau. This is a big day for us at the Housing Bureau, and I think everybody knows that Block 49 Affordable and Veterans Housing Project has really been a long time in coming to the South Waterfront neighborhood and to our city generally, and I really couldn't be more pleased to be here today to take this important step. As Commissioner Fish mentioned, the action you're taking enables me, with the assistance of our city attorney, to execute this development and disposition agreement, which effectively spells out that Reach will be our developer and that we are prepared to lend considerable funds for the project out of the tax increment financing affordable set aside. Other private financing arrangements do need to be put in place more securely, but we're on a very good path to do this and expect to be able to close financing in the spring. Now, our TIF investment will leverage nearly $20 million in private funds to complete the project financing and begin construction. I'm personally thrilled to be working with Reach, which was selected to develop and own the project through a competitive process this past fall. Reach emerged on top among a very strong group of nonprofit developers because the organization has a tremendous track record of delivering affordable housing opportunities in Portland and has long been a strong partner and ally of the cities. I should say that the transition from the original development team, which was Williams and Dame, has been smooth, and indeed, as it became clear that we could and should make this project as mission-oriented as possible, all of us were in agreement that development and ownership by a nonprofit made good sense. The project will utilize bond financing and tax credit equity resulting from an allocation by the state of Oregon of what's known as 4% low-income housing tax credits, and with $30 million financing from our TIF portion from the set-aside. As is often the case in our housing developments, partnerships are key. In this case, they are doubly important, and I want to mention the Housing Authority of Portland, the VA, of course, Reach, but also Walsh Construction, Anchor Moisson Architects, the Portland Development Commission, and inside the city, our own Office of Management and Finance. We've had tremendous help getting to this point. We want to house Dee, and Dr. Greaves will talk more about this, but we want to house veterans at this project because of the huge need and the location. And I need to say that our local VA has been terrific in stepping up to help us make this work. HAP, as always, has been a very strong partner. And, well, I should say that their board does still need to consider our very specific jurisdictional request for the allocation of those vouchers. We think the mission and delivery alignment are so strong and that they will look favorably on this request we've made. The project does have many green features, which I'll let the other members of my team describe a little bit more. We will achieve a LEED Silver rating on this project. It will be several more years, I should say, before additional tax increment is generated that we can deliver more affordable housing in this neighborhood. But this is a great down payment with 209 units against the original vision of 800 units. The other thing I want to point out is that Walsh Construction will serve as the general contractor, and they, along with Anchor Moisson, were selected by the previous development team that included PDC and Williams and Dame. Walsh has a very good track record of helping meet public policy goals around target business participation and workforce participation, and we have every confidence that they're going to step up to the plate and help us deliver against those public policy goals in that arena as well. And just the mere fact of putting construction workers on payrolls, I think, is very good news for everybody. So we're looking forward to starting construction. Then we'll really celebrate. We'll make sure council's there to help us do so. So at this time, I'd like to introduce Dee Walsh. Dee Walsh is the Executive Director of Reach Community Development, and she wanted to share a little bit about her view of this project.
Great. Thanks, Margaret. And good morning to everyone. It's great to see all of you. I wanted to start off just by thanking Commissioner Fish and the Portland Housing Bureau for their leadership in getting this project back on track. I've been involved with South Waterfront, North McAdam, and watching what's been going on there for a number of years. And this is really great to see this project moving forward. As Margaret mentioned, we were selected to be the developer owner after an extensive review process over the summer and fall, and we're very excited to take it on because we think that it's a perfect project for us. We have experience in developing this type of product. And also, because we are financially strong right now, even given the current economy, we're still considered bankable, which means that we have a lot of banks and investors who are interested in working with us on this project. And I know that's been a struggle up till now, but I want to assure you that they're clamoring at the door to work with us, and we're very positive in meeting that April groundbreaking deadline. Block 49 will provide 209 units of affordable housing to households earning less than 50% of the area median income. And as was mentioned, 20,000 square feet of ground floor commercial space, which was designed at a time when the commercial retail market was a little bit different than it is today. So we were very pleased. We'd been looking for new offices that we will be able to purchase 12,000 square feet of this space and move our staff down there. Right now we're in several locations. We've been looking for new offices for a while. We plan on selling our current building, and by consolidating in one location, especially a location that's on the streetcar and light rail, we feel we'll be helping to reduce our carbon footprint, which is in alignment with our company goals. So we're very excited about that. We also plan on providing resident services to the residents in this building, in addition to directly managing the property. And our resident services include things like eviction prevention, information referral, and skill building. So we're really hoping that our residents will blend in seamlessly with the rest of the community, even though they are coming from a different place in their life. 42 of the apartments, as was mentioned, will be rented to veterans earning less than 30% of the area median income. And we really look forward to our partnership with the VA, who will be providing services specifically to those residents. Finally, I guess I'd say, while this project has been a long time in coming, we're confident that we've got the right team and experience and lender and investor interest that we're going to get it built. And in fact, by starting today, we're actually going to be ending up with better financing than had the project started a couple years ago when the downturn began. So I look forward to your support and to seeing you all at the groundbreaking in April.
Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce Dr. David Greaves, who's the medical director at the local VA hospital.
Good morning. It's nice to be here. My name is David Greaves, and I'm the director of the Mental Health and Clinical Neurosciences Division at the VA, and that includes the homelessness services that we have. Back in June of this year, the VA released its national strategic plan for the next 5 years, and that reflected the priorities of President Obama and Eric Shinseki, who was the secretary of the VA. On top of the list was the elimination of homelessness in veterans. And in fact, the document states that the VA should, quote, marshal the resources of government, business, and the private sector to achieve this goal, unquote. Now, homelessness is a fairly complex issue, as you may know. It's a lot more than just not having a place to live. Many of the folks that we work with struggle with medical, emotional, legal, relationship concerns, and sometimes substance abuse is part of the issue. So simply handing somebody the keys to an apartment isn't necessarily fixing the problem of homelessness. So that's why we at the VA employ several caseworkers and interventional programs to help veterans overcome the barriers to permanent housing. Now, we're fortunate here in Portland that we have folks in the community, local government, and agencies who recognize the importance of helping people find homes. About a year and a half ago, Commissioner Fish visited us at the hospital, and he brought with him several of the key players in the city's fight against homelessness. It was on that day that we agreed together to redouble our efforts to help with homelessness, and we feel like we have many strong partnerships in the community now. Now, obviously, one of the requirements for overcoming homelessness is to have affordable housing options. And the proposed plan of Block 49 is going to provide 42 beautiful units for veterans. We're very excited about this. And the fact that the building is so close to the VA hospital is pretty neat. It's going to be a nice thing for veterans. Veterans who obtain housing in Block 49 will have access to multiple services and we look forward to engaging them in what we can offer them and help them get their lives on track. Now, the emergence of this project is nothing short of fantastic for us. We're very excited about this and look forward to ongoing partnership and expect that for years to come, we'll be able to serve as veterans, help them with their homelessness, and help them live the lives that they deserve. We appreciate your consideration of this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
And now I'd like to introduce Jeff Hamilton, who's with Ankara Moisen and has been a patient and a wonderful partner in helping us build, get to this point. He's just going to briefly highlight a couple of features of the building.
Can you switch chairs?
Yes.
Actually, that block of wood moves.
What's that?
The block of wood moves.
Thank you. My name is Jeff Hamilton with Ankara Moisen Architects. Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. This is the south waterfront south of Gibbs, and the location of Block 49 is shown at the south end of this new neighborhood. A couple of great things about this site are that it's the south terminus or turnaround of the downtown streetcar that starts in northwest Portland, turns around right at the front door of the project. And as you come south from downtown or north on McAdam, you turn down Bancroft. So this block is located at a very visible gateway kind of location to the whole neighborhood, so it's a great site. This is the ground floor of the project. North is to the left. You see the very lightly the streetcar turns around on Lowell. The northeast corner, the upper left, is the common areas for the housing. This floor sits over 116 parking spaces that are in the basement. These 50 spaces are shared both by Reach in the daytime and then the Spaghetti Factory at night, so it's a shared use of parking, getting quite a few hours out of the day. Reach will take over the offices on Bond and Bancroft at the south side of the site, as well as those on Moody to the west. The space to the northwest, retail space, is the leased space that they're talking about. It's a typical floor, 2 through 6. It's a wood building over concrete, second floor podium. 209 units, as we mentioned, made up of 2-bedroom, 1-bedroom, and studios. The courtyard in the middle isn't colored, but it's the whole building faces south, gets some good daylight into the courtyard and the central spaces, units. This is a view of the northeast corner where the streetcars just come in and it's about to leave on the right side of the view. So you're looking at the common area at the storefront level and then the housing above in the brick facade. Streetcar station located right at this on this street at Lowell. This is Lowell as well, taken at the northwest corner, looking at the overall building. You see the streetcar power line above. That corner is the retail that will be leased. And this is the south end of the building where the courtyard, which is a green space, spills over the south edge and down to the street level. And there's a rainwater collection system that feeds this landscaping. The glass that you see on the right and the left are the new Reach offices. And again, the south view on Bancroft looking towards the northeast at the southwest corner. So again, this is looking at Reach offices and the south end of the building. That's it. Thank you.
It's a very attractive building. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who are the designers?
Mark Nordine, Mike Klein, Emily Gabler, all folks on my team.
Good job.
Good group.
Yeah, it's a great looking building. Ankara Moisen has designed a number of very attractive buildings.
Sitka, Ramona for Ed McNamara and others.
In both South Waterfront and River District.
Right.
Good job.
So it's a great project. My question is about the LEED Silver certification. In the agreement, it says the Silver certification is subject to financial feasibility of the same. Mm-hmm. And our city policy regarding tax increment funds requires certified sealed lever. So, certified silver LEED, period. Not subject to financial commitment. So I can either offer an amendment to the development agreement or I can take a statement from both of you that you will meet LEED Silver, you will be certified as meeting LEED Silver, period.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm comfortable with either, and I'll let Dee speak to this as well. I think we're getting ever more confident about the budget. So we should be in a good position to meet the lead silver. Do you have any, would you add any?
I guess the only thing I'd add is that we plan on meeting it in construction. Sometimes on other properties that we've developed, we haven't paid for the certification because it can add a significant cost, but we definitely have the building built to that level.
Well, again, there's a city policy that governs, and it requires certification.
Well, then we will do it.
You will get certification for lead silver.
Yeah.
How much does that cost?
You know, I can't tell you the exact amount, but I know that when we were looking at doing it for Station Place, it was around, I want to say, $80,000 to $100,000 for the certification itself.
And just if I could jump in, we had the same conversation during the final stages of the RAC pre-development work on the Resource Access Center. So we do have city policies, and this and the development team has made commitments. I think what Commissioner Saltzman is pointing out is that the legal version of these things, you know, was written one way. But as with the Resource Access Center, where we made a firm commitment to deliver a LEED Platinum building, we're making a commitment to deliver a LEED Silver building here, Commissioner Saltzman.
Certified.
And okay. I don't think we need an amendment to that effect. Your housing commissioner is committing to that outcome.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thank you all very much. Any other invited?
Nope. That's it.
Anyone wish to testify on this matter?
It's an emergency.
Can you please call the vote? It is an emergency.
Leonard.
I greatly appreciate the work Commissioner Fish has devoted to this, and what he has not said that I will, at a minimum, allude to is that while others may have envisioned this project occurring, it took Commissioner Fish to get in and really solve some what were fatal flaws in the financing and a number of the other issues inherent in the original proposal to actually have it work. So I have somewhat from afar admired the progression of this project as Commissioner Fish has got in and fixed what would have actually prevented this project from actually happening and providing housing for I shouldn't say 42 veterans because there may be more veterans that lives in each unit, but at least 42 units for veterans. It is a testament to this community in general that we care so much about veterans to make sure we have not just adequate housing, but really first-rate housing in an area of the city that is going to be one of the most popular areas in years to come. There is an outstanding facility just blocks from there at the foot of the tram that OHSU operates for people to rehab themselves with weights and pools and hot tubs. And certainly veterans that live here, I'm sure, will take advantage of that. But it also includes a facility in that same unit where very young and vigorous people work out as well. It's a great facility. They can hop on the streetcar and drop themselves off in front of Safeway and do their shopping and then hop back on and ride back. I'm actually talking myself into looking into one of these units as I'm describing it. It's really a great testament to your work, Commissioner Fish, and I think you deserve to get a lot of credit for making it happen. Wouldn't have happened without you. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish and Director Van Vliet. This is a project long in the making, long in the desiring, and now it's going to happen thanks to you and thanks to Reach Community Development and the VA and to our veterans in our community. The gentleman who testified under Citizen Communications reminded me of how patriotic our veterans have been and how they continue to give back to our community. I think of Gil Fry and his advocacy for the Memorial Coliseum. And Joe Walsh, who, if you look around the chambers today, you'll notice that we have new seating reserved for people in wheelchairs and reserved for companion seating. And we'll soon be getting automatic doors in the council chambers. That's thanks to the advocacy of Joe Walsh and the work of facilities and Sarah Hussein in my office. So in lots of different ways, we need to not only talk about how much we care about our veterans, but prove it, and this does that. And I note that the average cost of the tax abatement is less than $115,000 per unit. for this service, which is so greatly needed and, as I said, was dreamed about when we started thinking about what South Waterfront, the North McAdam Urban Renewal District, would be made up of, and it's all kinds of people. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to thank my colleagues for their kind words. Let's step back for a moment and just acknowledge a simple fact about our efforts to end homelessness in our community, which is we have a great team that's working at a very high level to tackle this problem. But as with many of our most pressing problems, our greatest challenge is in the area of resources. If we had unlimited resources, we could solve a lot of problems. And it reminds me of the conversation we had earlier today about the underfunding of our public education system. There are places where extra dollars do make a difference. And I want to begin by thanking the taxpayers of Portland, because the taxpayers of Portland have invested tens of millions of dollars into this fight to end homelessness, and in particular have made a significant investment in the bricks and mortar side. Margaret and I have a deep conviction, and that is that the way we're going to solve the problem of the lack of affordable housing in our community is by either preserving existing housing or adding to the inventory of housing. And while we have some participants in the market who can help us get there, the reality is that without public investment, we can't do the job. And this is an area where the public has been very generous and has helped us make smart investments in housing, which will be a long-term community asset. Next year will be a milestone for us. We will break ground on Block 49 Veterans Housing in South Waterfront, and we'll cut the ribbon on the Resource Access Center, which is in another part of town. Both required substantial public investment in order to move forward. But frankly, more than that, both required a fresh look at two projects that, as Commissioner Leonard alluded to, would not have happened but for a fundamentally different view of how these projects would go forward. Mayor Adams, the promise that you and I made in the fall of 2008 about the benefits to our community of a new bureau and a new day, today, I believe, is partially fulfilled. Because it took a new bureau and a new leader taking a fresh new look at this project and the Resource Access Center to move them forward in the toughest environment we will ever see for building. Frankly, if Tom Moyer cannot build a tower on the backside of the Fox Tower, you have to ask the question, how on earth can we help a nonprofit developer move forward on this? And I think the answer lies largely in the leadership of Director Van Vliet and the team that she's assembled at the new Housing Bureau. Some will look at today's story, will look at this hearing and say, why did it take so long? I instead will look at this hearing and today's milestone and say that it is moving forward because we have the right team and the right approach. And I don't choose to look backward. Margaret and I have only been in charge for a little over 2 years. There's a lot of history on this site. That's not what we should be focusing on. We should be focusing on the fact that we have broken through and we're moving forward. And for 209 people who make very modest wages and in some cases have no income, this will be a safe and decent place to call home in a neighborhood which is really evolving. And in addition to some of the amenities that my colleagues have alluded to, we recently opened Elizabeth Carruthers Park, which is one of the most beautiful new public spaces in our city. So this is a place that people will choose and want to live. This is a beautiful building. And we've assembled the best team that we have in our business. Dee Walsh and Reach have done a marvelous job. And the last piece of work that they did that you're familiar with is the Admiral Apartments, which overlooks the Director Park, which is one of the most successful preservation projects we've done. And it's a beautiful home. And I'm always struck when I talk to people downtown who complain about the concentration of low-income folks downtown. They say, if only we had more buildings like that. And then I have to remind them that the most vulnerable people in our community, the oldest, poorest, and most disabled people in our community live in that building. And Dee Walsh and Reach did the renovation and manage it. It's a fantastic addition to downtown. So we have the utmost confidence in Dee. And in switching from the old development team to the new development team, Margaret has been able to stretch taxpayer dollars. And the truth is, this was once a workforce housing project with a few veterans thrown in. This is now a deeply affordable project, which meets 50% of the commitment this council made to affordable rental housing in the South Waterfront in one project. 50% of the 400 units that this council committed to. And as Margaret alluded to, when the Schnitzer property is developed and becomes successful, and when the Zidell property is developed and begins to generate increment, we'll have a replenishment of the stock of TIF, which will allow us to move on the next major project to complete our task. This has been extraordinarily difficult to get to this day, but I really, again, want it. This is Margaret's day, and I want to thank her and her team. I want to thank Ancrum Moisson and Walsh Construction because they always seem to be there with us during working through tough problems. I want to thank Dr. Greaves for taking time out of his schedule, and he was very modest in his remarks when he said that we met a year and a half ago to deal with some challenges. We had significant challenges in how a VASH voucher program for veterans was operating. And because of his willingness to tackle those problems, he did something virtually no other VA hospital in the country has done, and I know that directly from the HUD secretary himself. He changed the way they ran their program, and we went from being one of the most challenged programs to being one of the three best in the country, which means more of those vouchers came to us because of the success. So to everyone who joined us today and who's brought us this day, thank you. Keep our feet to the fire because we're not done until we actually have a groundbreaking. But and to my colleagues and to the mayor, thank you for the support you've given us. We would not be here without council support. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is a great project. I want to thank Commissioner Fish, Director Van Vliet, and REACH Community Development. REACH, I think, I don't know how we've got their name REACH, but it does, they constantly aspire to ever and greater and larger projects related to affordable housing and services that go with the residents. And so they have a proud, stellar track record, very bankable, which is also helpful, but I think that's because of their track record. So I want to also commend REACH. It's great to be able to, in one project, to meet 50% of the goal of affordable housing in South Waterfront.
So affordable rental housing.
Affordable rental housing. That's a big step forward. So this is a good project. Please just support it. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to congratulate Commissioner Nick Fish for absolutely putting together a team and creating the cementing and creating the partnerships and being incredibly creative in making this project happen. It's a very important project for South Waterfront, and it couldn't have happened at a better time. It's also darn good looking, and to be able to have all that together in one possible package is very remarkable. So congratulations. Really appreciate it. To Margaret, Dee, and everyone else, thrilled. Thank you. Aye. So approved. That gets us to back on the first item on the. So, can you? We're going to. Can you please read the title for item number 1631?
Appoint members to the 2011 Charter Commission, convene commission, and request specific study and actions.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz has asked that we hold this over until as the last item on the afternoon agenda. But in the meantime, is anyone here to testify on 1631? Don't all come up here at once. Come on. Chief Klum, any thoughts you'd like to share with the room? Okay.
That's not why you're here.
Mr. Rakowski, anything at all? Any thoughts on this item? All right, Commissioner Fritz, I tried. This is held over until this afternoon. Can you please read the title for a non-emergency ordinance, item number 1632?
Vacate a portion of Southwest Whitaker Street, west of Southwest Moody Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Thanks for waiting. Appreciate your patience.
Good day, Mayor, City Council. My name is Lance Lindahl, Bureau of Transportation Right-of-Way Acquisition Section. I'm here today to discuss a street vacation case to vacate a half block, an unimproved portion of Southwest Whitaker Street in the South Waterfront neighborhood. At this time, I'd like to introduce Scott Servanek, who will talk more about the vacation proposal and the reason behind it.
Scott, if you'd just say your name for the record, your
morning.
Job title.
Scott Servanek, Senior Director of Design and Construction with Knowledge Universe. And I'm going to speak to our project here, if I can get this to work. Apologies for the delay.
It's all right.
1632.
So our project, again, is the vacation of Southwest Whitaker and Southwest Moody. Just a little background. Knowledge Universe is the parent company to Children's Creative Learning Centers, CCLC for short. CCLC is the brand that has developed and is operating a child care facility located at 3325 Southwest Moody. That property location is west of Moody, south of Gibbs Street and the tram, and north of Whitaker. The first two slides that I'm going to show you here very quickly just support the fact that the Bureau of Transportation does not have plans for Whitaker and extending it west of Moody. Essentially, the section of Whitaker that we're proposing vacating is a dead-end alley that is roughly 60 feet wide north to south and 100 feet wide east to west. So currently the South Waterfront District Street Plan, dated back to 2009 on this first slide, and the second slide that denotes the Central City District Zoning Code, neither of which support connectivity of Whitaker to McAdam. This is an aerial overview of the project and the property owners that are adjacent it. The red dotted box denotes the 60-foot by 100-foot area I spoke to. And our neighbors include ODOT to the northwest, R&H Construction to the south, and our building, of course, is 3325 South West Moody to the north. This is an aerial photograph of the property before we commenced construction. And what this really is meant to denote is, again, reinforcing that the section of Whitaker west of Moody was essentially used as an alley and a storage facility for the property that we renovated and our property neighbors to the south. This is a photograph of the building before we renovated it. It was a purpose-built warehouse built in 1951. It's been fairly lightly used of recent memory. Again, a warehouse facility in fairly rough condition. We completely renovated the facility and brought it up to modern standards and code. This is a photograph of the Gibbs Street right-of-way, looking down at the tram just on the north side of our building. Right there is a photograph of the right-of-way itself while it was going under construction. And you can see in the background there that wall on the west side essentially terminated Whitaker and prevented it from flowing through to McAdam. It's a photograph of the building today. This is the completed renovation. We opened the facility in November, and as you can see, comparing the before and after, we completely changed the fabric of that building, repurposed it, brought up the building to modern or current code standards, revitalized the face of the building, put in a new streetscape. And to the left side of the building there, and I'll show you a picture in a second or two here, you can see the right-of-way and what it is today. We converted our portion of the right-of-way into a playground for our children. And that right there is a photograph of the playground today. So the right-of-way on our side of Whitaker is a purpose-built play facility for our children. This is a shot inside the building. By state mandate, we have to provide a certain amount of square footage for our children in the child care business. A portion of that is outside, and a portion of that is inside. This is one of the only indoor play facilities of its type in the area. We're very proud of this. Given the weather that we have in Oregon, it's awfully nice for children that are 2 to 4 years old to be able to experience a full motor skills opportunity given the weather that we have. So those garage doors that you see there in the background are operable. They actually slide open. We've got skylights in there, 14-foot high ceilings, a sandbox, turf, plenty of opportunity for children to have a great time and not get out in the weather. In summary, we opened the project November 1st. The project has netted us about 50 new jobs to the community. It's licensed for up to 172 children. And it cost us about $3 million to develop it end to end. Again, it features a very unique indoor-outdoor play area. We're very proud of it. And just one last comment about Knowledge Universe. We are a Portland-based company. We have facilities across the United States, and we're very proud of this and its relationship to OHSU. So thank you.
Well, I would rephrase that slightly and say you're a fantastic Portland-based company, and
we'll
this is
that.
An amazing facility. I was good enough to be there for the opening, and it's the before and after doesn't do it justice. It was a musty old broken-down warehouse, and you turned it into a top-of-the-line education and child care facility.
And just to be clear, you do have a revocable permit that allowed you to do those outside improvements before you...
I did not mention that, but you are correct.
Folks to understand that.
That is correct.
There's a process to go
correct.
Through if you want to do that, and you went through it. I also have a question. Do you have any openings at your facility right now for children to be enrolled?
We do. As a matter of fact, just to be clear, the center is open to the public. It's not just built for OHSU. Although, given its location, it's a great thing for the OHSU staff up there. But it is open to the public, and we do have enrollment opportunities there now.
I know that some of our city employees are strapped for childcare. What are the hours that you're open?
We are open Monday through Friday, and I believe we are open approximately 6 a.m. to 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night.
Thank you. And as a former nurse at OHSU, I know that they also need a lot of quality childcare. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Yeah, this is I just want to add my accolades and to the project, but also to Knowledge Universe being a great, great company doing good things for families and children. I was curious, so are most of the families who are using your services working on the Hill or at the Center for Health and Healing, or do you have any sense of that? Where are the parents actually?
I really don't at this time. I can tell you that I toured a lot of families before we built the facility or finished the facility. Mm-hmm. And there was a very healthy mix.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Well, thank you.
I had, Mayor, the pleasure of joining one of our guests today and some other folks on Knowledge Universe recently at a K-8 Portland Public School program where they gave every student in the school a backpack and a set of supplies to start the school year off. I believe they've adopted that particular program as well. So thanks for all that you do in our community.
Appreciate that.
Also on this project, I'd like to make an amendment to the ordinance. Unfortunately, the correct legal description and exhibit map was not included in the copies that you receive in the council documents.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on this? Sue, would you please call the vote on the amendment?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Amendment is approved. Unless there's additional discussion, does anyone want to testify on item number 1632? Moves to a second reading next week.
Thank you very much.
Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance contract amendment, item number 1633?
Amend contract with Three Kings Environmental, Inc. to increase by an additional $511,431 additional construction services for Stanton Yard Fuel Facility Project.
Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself and tell us what we're looking at.
My name is Rich Attridge. I'm a project manager for Office of Management and Finance Facilities Division. I'm a project manager for the Stanton Yard Fuel Facility Project. That project was to remove three 12,000-gallon underground tanks and replace them with three 15,000 underground fuel tanks, new ones, and fiberglass, and with a new pump system. I'm passing out photos of the project because I think in this case a picture is going to be worth 1,000 words. The primary reason for this large change to the Three Kings contract was that we found contaminated soil once we excavated the tanks to the tune of having to remove 3,300 tons of soil or 2,700 cubic yards. And, of course, we had to backfill with approximately 4,000 tons or 3,000 cubic yards of fuel. contamination was found about 35 feet deep under a concrete slab that we found once we excavated the tanks. It wasn't shown on the previous tank installation plans.
Under a concrete slab?
Yes. So, and unfortunately, the contamination went underneath the fuel island where the pumps were, so that created a cascade of problems. We had to take out the canopy system that was there that we hadn't planned on and replace that. We had to take out the oil water separator, and then once we took that out, we found that it had been leaking, so that's going to be replaced. We've been working with DEQ through this whole thing, and they are pleased with our level of effort we're putting in to leave no contamination behind as a result of our work on that project. I am going to have a final change order that will be coming up just to capture the final cost for the project. We're not done yet. We're estimating completion around January 7th. The funding for this work will come from a combination of funds. One is the Fleet Services Fund Reserves, or the Facility Services Major Maintenance Account will be the funds, the accounts that this money comes from.
So this is actually, to be clear, a fleet division project and facility?
It's a city, well, it was...
Or a transportation...
It's city fleet. The Kirby Garage operates this, the city fleet operates this fuel facility behind the Kirby Garage. It's a major facility for all the city vehicles. So it was a city fleet project. And they have these two funds that they can use to pay that
we have
to pay for this.
We have no choice.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other council discussion on this? Does anyone wish to testify on emergency ordinance item number 1633? Sue, can you please call the roll?
Leonard.
Vote.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1633 is approved. Can you please read the title, Sue, for emergency ordinance item number 1634?
Authorized contract with lowest responsive and responsible bidder for the Fire Station 18 seismic upgrade and facility remodel project for estimated cost of $1,509,700.
Commissioner Randy Leonard.
Good morning. My name is Connie Johnson. I'm the project manager with OMF Facilities for this project. Today, I'm requesting that you authorize the award of a construction contract to the lowest responsible and responsive bidder for the Portland Fire and Rescue Station 18 seismic upgrade and facility remodel project. The goals of this project are to upgrade the facility to essential facility status, to provide ADA and gender accommodations, and we're also providing a community room for the community. We'll be pursuing LEED Gold certification, and the cost estimate by a professional cost estimator reflects that. Let's see, some of our key dates. We hope to advertise as soon as we get a permit, and we'd like to have the notice to proceed or start construction in April or May and be done in December of 2011.
For those of us who haven't quite mastered the numbers for fire stations, where is Fire Station 18?
It's 8720 Southwest 30th. It's sort of between Barber and Multnomah Boulevards.
Other discussion? All right, this is an emergency. Does anyone wish to testify on 1634? Sue, would you please call the vote on 1634?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Very happy that this is getting done. Thank you very much, and thanks to the city.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Good work. I appreciate the LEED Gold certification. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard, and the team at the Fire Bureau and the team at Facilities. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for procurement report item number 1635?
Accept guaranteed maximum price of $27,814,675 from Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc.,
for the construction of the Southwest Moody Avenue roadway and track relocation project.
Hi, Ms. Moody. Welcome back.
Thank you. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In May 2010, City Council authorized the use of a CMGC process for the Moody Avenue roadway and track relocation project. Through this process, an RFP was issued and 6 responses were received. The responses were evaluated by a 7-person selection committee, which included 2 city staff, 2 TriMet staff, 1 Portland Streetcar board member, and 2 minority evaluators. Stacy & Whitbeck, Inc. is the highest scoring proposal, receiving 92 points out of a possible 100 points. The city then entered into contract negotiations, and now you have before you the procurement report recommending a contract award for a guaranteed maximum price of $27,814,675. This project is funded through the Federal Transit Administration, and the city's Good Faith Efforts program does not apply to this project. In cooperation with TriMet, we were able to supplement the DBE requirements with MWSB conditions. In working through the subcontractor and supplier outreach plan, Stacy & Whitbeck has made a firm commitment to have the DBE contracting community perform 22% of the overall contract value. In addition, they have committed that 15% will go towards minority and women contractors. Stacy & Whitbeck will comply with the city's workforce requirements and all project work that it self-performs, and will meet or exceed the 20% apprenticeship work hours and the workforce diversity requirements. So at this point, I'll turn it over to Chris Arms to talk about how they got to the guaranteed maximum price and a brief on the scope of the project.
I'm Chris Arms, the Bureau of Transportation. The guaranteed maximum price was developed through, it was an iterative process. Stacy Whitbeck went through and looked at the plans and developed their own independent cost estimate, and we compared that to our design team's cost estimate. And from there, we went through a process to reconcile the quantities and cost for each of the items with PBOT staff, Harper Hoff, Peterson, Regalis, our design consultants, and Stacy Whitbeck. And then from there, we went through a series of meetings over a 5-week period of negotiations to develop the guaranteed maximum price. The project is funded through, as Christine said, the Federal Transit Administration, and we received the Tiger era funds for this project. So as part of the project, we will be raising the elevation of the roadway to accommodate the new connection with the light rail bridge and help redevelopment for adjacent properties of the Schnitzer campus and Zidell. And we'll be relocating the streetcar that currently runs adjacent to Moody into the new roadway and be constructing sidewalk and bike facilities and new sewer and water facilities to help the adjacent properties develop.
Was this a qualifications-based selection process?
It was. We used the construction manager general contractor, so we used the request for proposals process where there were criteria evaluated, project approach, firm's capabilities, cost.
CGMC.
Mm-hmm.
Were there, how many respondents were there?
There were 6 proposals received. 1 was deemed non-responsive, was not forwarded onto the evaluation committee. The evaluation committee evaluated 5 of the proposals.
Okay, thanks. So is anyone wish to testify on 1635? Motion to accept?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to accept the procurement report. Sue, would you please call the vote?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Work. Aye.
Adams.
This is a significant step forward in a project of citywide significance. This allows for the new OHSU building to move forward. It allows for us to get the federal funding for the light rail. It serves as the bridgehead for a new light rail bus multimodal bridge across the Willamette. So thanks to each of you. Big thanks to the federal government for stimulus funding. We were one of 20-odd cities that got the Tiger grants that are transportation-related grants. This puts a lot of people to work and moves forward the vision of North McAdam to the benefit of the entire city. Aye. Thank you. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 1636?
Authorize the Portland Development Commission to pursue an expansion of the Portland Enterprise Zone to add property at 7700 Northeast Ambassador Place.
Hi, welcome back.
Do you want us to use the PowerPoint or go through this fast since you're running late?
What's the fastest? Fast. Good? Fast is good.
No PowerPoint then?
No PowerPoint.
Okay.
You could put it on your website then.
Sure. Have to think out what fast means. So today, basically, the action that we're requesting is an expansion.
Keith, would you introduce yourself?
Thank you. Keith Witkowski, Portland Development Commission. I'm joined by Andy Reid, also from the Portland Development Commission. So today we're asking authorization for PDC to submit an application to the state to expand the size of our enterprise zone. We administer the program on behalf of the city. The expansion calls for 4 acres. Kind of to the north to bring in property that is currently leased by Rentrak Corporation. They are a transactional media company that basically, if you do on-demand with certain cable providers, or if you purchase media or watch media on the internet or TV, they track that. They bought the Nielsen ratings in January, so they do all of those ratings as well. They have their headquarters here with about 230 people. Average wages are about $65,000. They have 15 offices spread across 11 countries. So they are a key international leader in our software industry cluster. What we expect them to be doing with this is applying to the state to use the kind of a subset of a program within the enterprise zone called the e-commerce program, which allows them to take an income tax credit for improvements that they make related to electronic commerce. So it's things like software, hardware, server rooms, those kinds of things. They'll also be making a modest, in comparable terms, investment in the facility that will be around probably under $1 million that comes back and equates to about $100,000 in property tax impact, which would be the most significant impact to the city and county. This was approved by the PDC board last week. At that time, representatives from the mayor's office as well as Chair Kogan came and testified on behalf of the project and the importance of keeping these 230 jobs in Portland, whereas right now they have an opportunity to move to Washington at a significantly decreased lease rate.
We are the beneficiary of a leader of this company who needs to meet a threshold value proposition. But what I like about this company is that they need some help, but they are staying in the city, and they, as Keith said, they could move elsewhere and see a big savings on their bottom line.
Keith, I just had a couple of questions. They're publicly traded, right?
Correct.
And you alluded to the fact that they're being courted by the state of Washington. In fact, they have a proposal, right, that's very attractive where they would substantially reduce their overhead costs.
Correct.
The principal impact, as I understand it, is that they would get an income tax credit, which would affect state receipts, since income taxes go to the state. But that under the program, the way it works is they get a credit, but they have to agree to make certain investments in upgrading their technology and other capital needs. So the money will be plowed back into making them more viable in their industry cluster. Is that correct?
Correct.
And finally, you alluded to what would be the local impact of our decision if we authorize this, which would be a modest hit to the property taxes we receive of no more than $100,000. For how many years would that apply?
That $100,000 is across 5 years, so that's the sum total.
So in the aggregate, over a five-year period, it'd be $100,000. And that's the most immediate impact to us and on the cost side. And the benefit to us is preserving 230 family wage jobs in Portland.
Yes.
Thank you.
Would you like to add anything?
In addition to that.
And introduce yourself.
My name's Andy Reid, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. In addition to that, the company is intending to hire up to 50 employees, which is connected to this investment. And with the enterprise zone, you cannot do the e-commerce tax credit without the regular enterprise zone abatement. And therefore, they're held to the standards of the regular enterprise zone rules, which includes job creation as a main element of that program.
Mary Ann, I just had one other question, if I could. Mm-hmm. In light of what we've heard from Salem, that all these programs are going to be put under a microscope, tax abatements, tax credits, enterprise zones, and everything else, as they look to close a $3 billion hole, what's the timetable for RENTRAC in order to be eligible for this program, regardless of what the legislature does?
Well, they're going to be, and correct me if I go out of bounds here, give the wrong information. The program, but the enterprise zone and the e-commerce program, one of them sunsets in about 2012, the other right in that time frame. So it's going to be important, and it's already on the city's legislative agenda, that if RENTRAC gets into the program, they can use it while the program's in effect. But if it expires, then an extension of that program is going to be essential for them to continue to be able to use the benefits of it.
And in that conversation with the state, and I appreciate you raising the question, Commissioner Fish, is for all the work that this government does and the Portland Development Commission does to recruit and retain and expand businesses here, all that corporate income tax goes to the state. Does not come here. So this is one of the few tools we have that involves state tax revenue. Any final comments?
Nope.
Okay, any additional council discussion? All right, this is a resolution. Anyone wish to testify in 1636? Sue, can you please call the vote on the resolution?
Leonard.
Aye.
Chris.
The enterprise zones are really a great tool, and in the version of the program that ran from 2000 to 2007, 35 companies invested $437 million, created or retained 4,600 jobs, 4,300 jobs in return for a total property tax abatement of about $26 million. She got that from my old blog, amendfritz.com, where I was actually a critic of a lot of stuff that happened in the city, and this is one of the programs that I really appreciated, even as an outsider not really understanding a lot of the ins and outs, in part because it does require the jobs be above minimum wage, benefits including health care insurance, child care, paying into the city's fund for basic services such as police and fire. So it's a very well-rounded program that we did a study on that showed that it's really effective, and I'm very happy to add this project. Aye.
Fish.
Keith, I appreciate the presentation and the briefing my office got. I mean, the point's been made that these are some of the most mobile jobs in our economy, and states are competing like crazy for them. So what this action does is results in a very modest public investment locally in terms of foregone property taxes for a huge public benefit, which is retaining 230 jobs with the prospects of further jobs and a headquartered business in an industry which is part of our overall economic development strategy. So probably doesn't get better than that. So thanks for the explanation, though, you gave us to work through some concerns we had. Aye.
Bossman.
Well, I think that much has been said in support of this, and I do support this. I think, you know, we're talking here about an international headquartered company with 230 employees. That probably puts it in the upper echelon of international headquarters we have in Portland. So this is very much worth the outlay of tax expenditures to keep them here, keep those jobs here in Oregon. And I think, as the mayor said, the revenues, the income taxes they pay will go to help the state tackle its $3.5 billion deficit. So this is a good deal for all. And I want to compliment the PDC for its support of this as well. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you both for your work on this. This business is a cornerstone business of our digital development software targeted industry strategy. It's probably not as well known in the city as it deserves to be. It is a global and aggressive and smart player. So I'm pleased that PDC has employed its usual creativeness in helping this company stay here and grow. Aye. Resolution is approved. That gets us to emergency ordinance, item number 1637.
Authorize a sole source contract with Camp Dresser and McKee, Inc. to support development of LT2 variance requests.
I guess I just go ahead.
Okay.
This is a ordinance that continues our vigorous pursuit of a variance for the treatment at Bull Run, and I'll turn it over to David and Anna. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Portland Water Bureau, and with me is Yona Kagi. She's the project manager for our LT2 treatment variance effort. I think it's fair to say that neither Yona nor I thought we would be sitting here last December when we first started our sampling program with the good news that we have. As you know, last December we started intensive water quality sampling for cryptosporidium at our water intake up in the Bull Run watershed. Last week we took our last daily